Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
High in the mountains of Dutch New Guinea, beneath these clouds, an American Army plane crashed some time ago. There are three survivors from the 24 passengers and crew. In this valley, the American Air Force is going to attempt the rescue of these people by pickup glider. And when we get to the valley, I'm going to parachute in to photograph this rescue.
That is the introduction to a short documentary film from 1945 about a plane crash and rescue in the mysterious region of Dutch New Guinea, known to Americans as Shangri-La. Until recently, the event had long been relegated to history. But now the incredible rescue is the subject of a new book, Lost in Shangri-La, by local author and Boston University journalism professor Mitch Zukoff. Zukoff joined us yesterday to talk about the book out this week. He described the circumstances by which two American servicemen and one servicewoman came to be stuck in uncharted territory ripe with danger.
It's May 13, 1945, 5 days after victory in Europe. So these people were having a little bit of R&R. They were up flying over this valley that had only been discovered by the army a year before, where 100,000 Stone Age tribesmen were living sort of in the original state. This was a basic primitive society, and everyone wanted to see it. When this particular plane flew over, a series of mistakes plus terrain plus bad weather sent it flying into the mountain. Three survivors, a beautiful woman named Margaret Hastings, a corporal in the Women's Army Corps.
The WAC.
And two men, a sergeant who had a terrible head wound and a lieutenant, John McCullum, who had lost his twin brother in the crash. And so then it's a question of how can they survive and how can they get away from these people they thought and they knew were cannibals.
Before we get to that part of the story, I want to bring in the Massachusetts connection. At the controls of the plane, the moment the plane crashed, was a Medford, Massachusetts man.
Exactly. George Nicholson Jr., a major, he was not a terribly experienced pilot, and when they were flying over this valley, or flying toward the valley, his co-pilot, the much more senior, much more experienced pilot, Peter Prossen, got up from the pilot's seat to go back and socialize with the WACs and the airmen, and George Nicholson is left alone at the controls, and he brings the plane in too low in a little side valley, and he's trying desperately to pull up, but he just can't do it.
The three survivors basically stumble out of the wreckage, and there, the second part of this adventure begins.
Exactly. They're lost in the middle of this jungle. I've been to the jungle, and it's incredibly dense. It's incredibly hard to get around. You can take a wrong turn and fall off a cliff. And they were hurt, they were hungry, they had no food except for candy charms, and they knew that they wouldn't be spotted from above. The canopy over this rainforest is just impenetrable. And so they realize, John McCullum realizes, the lieutenant among them, they have to get to a clearing somewhere. So they have to make their way down through this jungle with no maps and fearing at every turn they're going to run into these tribesmen.
I'm going to have you read an excerpt here on just that.
The native men approaching the survivors, residents of Uambo and nearby villages, had all danced to celebrate the deaths of foes. Some had taken a life or several. Some might have butchered dead enemies and tasted human flesh as a spoil of victory. "When we killed somebody, we'd have a victory dance," said Helen Mawandik, who was a boy at the time. He accused his enemies, a clan called the Landikma, of eating the entire bodies of battle victims. He considered this barbaric. By contrast, Helen Mawandik said, his people only ate the hands of their enemies, severed after death and cooked in a pit with hot rocks. The bad news, then, was that at least some of the boogeyman stories that Margaret McCullum and Decker had heard about the natives eating the flesh of their enemies were true. The nearly naked, axe-wielding men who emerged from the jungle had no qualms about killing, and they had every reason to consider it wise to strike first at strangers.
But fortunately, they did not.
They had a legend that described spirits from the sky who would come down on a rope into their valley. And they believed that Margaret McCullum and Decker were the fulfillment of this legend. So they decided that these spirits had to be protected.
And they did essentially save the survivors.
Absolutely. There's no question. They helped the survivors. They offered them food. Now, at this point, after they're spotted from the air, they are dropping, the Americans are dropping supplies. But They made fires for them to keep them warm until they could get some of these rescuers, these paratroopers, on the ground to help them, to help Margaret.
And the rescue itself, very dramatic, very unique. They decide the way to handle it is to drop glider planes into the valley and then snatch them up full of the survivors and the rescue team already on the ground.
It really is crazy. It seemed designed to increase the casualty number. They thought of everything. They thought of bringing blimps over. They tried to get a boat up the river nearby. They wanted to get helicopters, but they couldn't get over the surrounding mountains. So, yes, they decided ultimately we're going to drop these gliders and then figure out a way to have a hook off the belly of a passing plane, snatch these gliders back into the air, get them up over the mountains. And again, people who know gliders, they used to call them flying coffins. They were frequently crashing. They were difficult to control. And now you're going to try a rescue a mile off the ground in the center of a jungle in a little valley. And that was their plan.
That was Mitch Zukov, professor of journalism at Boston University and author of the new book, Lost in Shangri-La, a true story of survival, adventure, and the most incredible rescue mission of World War II. We don't want to give away the whole story, so we're going to end there. But the book is out now, and you can see documentary footage from 1945 about the crash and the rescue at our website, wbur.org.